Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Great to have you on board today. Oh, wow. It's been a fast and furious cycle of news over the past 48 hours. Maryland entering the Big Ten officially yesterday. Today, Rutgers officially in the Big Ten, off to 14 schools. Illinois in 2014 will switch from the Leaders Division to the Legends Division. Rutgers and Maryland will be in the same division with Penn State starting in 2014. It'll be Penn State, Ohio State, Indiana, Purdue, Wisconsin, Rutgers, and Maryland starting in 2014. A lot going on. I want to get your reaction to it. You may be a Maryland fan, an ACC fan. You might be a Rutgers fan, a Big East fan. You might be a Penn State fan, or you might be, obviously, a Big Ten fan. I want to get your reaction to the moves that have been made in the last 48 hours by the conference and by Maryland and Rutgers, and the impact that you think on all of this. And for you Penn Staters who, over the years, who have complained for the last 21 years, and justifiably, I might add, that, look, I used to be able to drive to Syracuse. I used to be able to drive to BC, to Rutgers, to Temple, to Maryland, to West Virginia, and Pitt to see games when Penn State played in the road. I can't do that. I can't drive to Minnesota. I can't drive to Iowa. That's now all changed. Starting in 2014 with Maryland and Rutgers and Ohio State, all within a 350-mile radius of the University Park campus, that changes a lot of things for fans, that some of that feeling has started to come back. And at the same time, the Big Ten, after watching Pitt and Syracuse join the ACC, they decided to take care of their eastern flank and get Penn State protected and surrounded. And it now gives Penn State a natural rivalry with Rutgers, gives Penn State a natural rivalry with Maryland in every sport, football, men's basketball, everything. And that will be a built-in rivalry that you'll see Maryland embrace and see Rutgers embrace. Very important down the road, because Penn State, of course, has had a great rivalry with Ohio State, a great rivalry with Michigan, but they're not the prime rival. You know, and everyone knows that. So we'll talk about all that and much more coming up on the show today. And before we get to any of that, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. And our tire rewards program gives you your next set of tires free. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. sunburymotors.com. The winning team.
Raucous. Raucous? Is Reichley raucous?
It's always raucous on the show.
Reichley? Really?
No, that can't be true.
I mean, I realize that Lawrence can be raucous for enough, but I mean, really? Okay, do you have the records of how we did last week?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, because we all made our predictions. You and I were the only two that picked Shippensburg.
That's true. So we win on that front.
Yes.
Although Buhner got the old Stanford pick.
He got Stanford. He came up huge there. You and I picked the Ravens.
Naturally.
So I do know some of this. You know, obviously, you know, Kevin went out and he picked the Steelers as dumb.
It was an ugly, ugly game.
No, oh, it was ugly. All right, so what about today's show? What do we do today? We'll start out with a slice of bad news for Penn State. Tim Frazier is done for the year. The Penn State point guard, all Big Ten selection last year, first team all Big Ten selection. And also a preseason all Big Ten selection first team. Ruptured his Achilles, had surgery on it today. He is done for the year. That means, obviously, that means he doesn't play against Bucknell on Friday.
Now, there is a red shirt eligibility. Is that right? I was reading that. Can you explain it?
Yes, medical hardship. I mean, he's played 3 years, and he's only was in this fourth game of this year. He could apply for medical hardship. You know, people refer to it as medical red shirt. That's what it is. So he can apply for that, which he'll get. That's, you know, that will be the easy part. Now, Penn State, that would put them over. They would have 14 scholarship players next year, but there is a player eligible for an extra year that's the information we have is not going to take it.
Okay.
So they'll have room for him next year. They shall have room. So that's how that plays out. And that obviously is a tough one for Penn State. It has with it a lot of ramifications, because number one, you lose your best player, you lose your heart and soul, you lose your engine. Others are going to have to step up to get it done. But the other part of this is that for a guy like DJ Newbill, for example, who has been Newbill has certainly brings a lot of talent to the table, but he was going to be afforded the luxury Tim Frazier had the first 2 years of his career. He was afforded the luxury of being the secondary guy, didn't have to handle the ball as often, just had to really take care of his business and get integrated into what they were doing. Now he's going to have the responsibility thrust on his shoulders to not only take care of, quote, his secondary role, but a good chunk of Tim Frazier's primary role. It won't be easy. In the end, I think it'll make him a better player. And he and Frazier can combine next year to give Penn State a great backcourt within the Big Ten. And Penn State will have a much more talented team next year, too, because Patrick Chambers really has started, essentially, with an expansion unit and has been trying to build upon it. Was not handed a great situation. So that's what he has. And now with Bucknell coming in, Bucknell's off to a great start. We had Dave Paulson on the show yesterday, 5-0 in the year. Rutgers is now officially a member of the Big Ten. We'll hear from Jim Delaney and Kevin Panetti, who's the athletic director at Rutgers. We'll hear that press conference coming up at 3:35. And then Matt LaPay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football. So we have a lot going on. After the Maryland announcement yesterday, Brett Bielema yesterday, today Matt LaPay talking about Wisconsin, and also we have the Rutgers press conference today on their entrance into the Big Ten Conference, led by Commissioner Jim Delaney. So we'll give a good listen as to how they feel about it and how you feel about it at 1-800-795-9565. I mean, that's... Certainly had some interesting reaction yesterday from Maryland fans. And let's face it, the landscape of intercollegiate athletics is completely different now. How you felt about rivalries and so forth that you saw in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that's gone now. And what I found interesting is the number of times in the last 2 days I have heard Jim Delaney talk about Penn State. Penn State. Penn State's a bridge. You know, Penn State's out here. Now Penn State opened the door for this. What the heck? Where'd that come from? So, Rutgers and Maryland are in. Now, we know Maryland's in as of July 1st, 2014. There is no timetable yet for Rutgers. I think a lot of people assume they're going to come in July 1st, 2014. But that was not answered today. That was not answered today. So I think they're in a buyout situation. They're in a buyout situation like West Virginia, Pitt, and Syracuse. West Virginia opened the door. Now, the exit fee from the Big East is $10 million. I don't think it'll take them long to get the exit fee set and out. I would expect, would not be surprised, that on July 1st, 2014, both Maryland and Rutgers are there, but Rutgers doesn't have it set in stone yet. Divisionals, divisional play, and how it works out. A lot of speculation as to how the divisions would break out. Maryland people had reported they were going to be Maryland and Rutgers with Penn State, and the athletic directors in the Big Ten haven't met about that yet. Why would they? It's not official until you're actually in. As to how you set up. As Jim Delaney said yesterday, the door is open to 9 conference games moving forward. Because if you wanted to, obviously you'd play everybody on your side 6, the crossover game, that's not going to go. If Michigan and Ohio State continue to be on opposite sides, opposite divisions, then that crossover game is still going to be there. And if that's the case, that's 7, then your other 2 teams that you face in the other division. Because if you don't, you'd have to play everybody home and away. It would take 12 years to do it. If you have just 1 with 8 games, with 9, you get it to 2, and then it takes 6 years to have played everybody. And that is, in the end, part of the purpose of a conference. With 14, you're facing 5 home and aways and 8 1 plays if you stay at 18 games, which is the current model. Do you want to go to 20? And what's the risk to revenue down the road, plus and minus, by having fewer non-conference games? I don't know. That's something they have to discuss. Then the next part of this is, one of the reasons, I think the Big Ten was going to stay stable at 12, I think, when they put together the deal with the Pac-12 for the Big Ten Pac-12 challenge, and which would have been in every sport. You'd have 1 football game every year starting in 2017 be against a Pac-12 team. They were going to set up, I think they were going to set up triple headers at 4 sites for basketball. You know, they could have triple headered at the United Center, Palace of Auburn Hills, Staples Center, and Rose Garden in Portland. Could have done that within the footprint of each. But one of the problems that they had was on the football side of it. The football side of it became a problem because already the Pac-12 is playing 9 conference games. USC plays Notre Dame every year. Stanford plays Notre Dame every year. And some of the schools out there did not have the flexibility scheduling-wise and weren't willing to have the flexibility scheduling-wise to make this happen. Thus, that fell apart. When that fell apart, the Big Ten started looking again. I think if the Pac-12 thing had been firm and in place, I think the Big Ten felt at that point it had expanded the brand to cross over into the West and into the Southwest, Arizona State. And when that fell apart, because some of the Pac-12 schools just couldn't make it happen, that changed everything. And when that changed, then you saw the Big Ten looking eastward. And now Penn State will no longer be the easternmost outpost. In fact, the Penn State component is Jim Delaney has liberally cited Penn State several times in the last couple of days. We'll hear from the commissioner when we come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com. Yesterday it was Maryland. Today it is Rutgers. And Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney on the move eastward by the Big Ten.
We're slow to change in some regards, but also hopefully pivot towards opportunities when they present themselves. And so 22 or 23 years ago, Penn State became a member of the Big Ten. And we pretty much stayed with 11 institutions for two decades. And, you know, what does 11 mean? I don't know what it means. It's not an easy number to schedule around. It's a prime number. And beyond that, I'm not sure it's a great number to build structure around. But we were very comfortable with that number. But as times change and evolve, college athletics grew slightly larger. And most of them, you know, developed into 12-team conferences, 12 institutions. And, you know, a couple years ago, we decided to look. In that process of looking, no, we found a great partner in Nebraska, and the fit has been comfortable. At the time, conferences started looking at more than 12 members. You know, our response to that was to try to establish a collaboration with a Pac-12 conference and to get some of the benefits of expansion without really going beyond, because we really thought that conferences are best that play each other most, and to build those traditions and build those experiences and build those rivalries. And if anything, I think the partnerships in the Midwestern part of the country have been predicated on repetition, joint experiences, joint markets, and that worked for well for us. That wasn't possible. But what we saw happening around us was most of the major conferences moving out of their historic boundaries. And, you know, we thought that we needed to at least be aware of what the potential was. And as we looked around our neighborhood and out of our neighborhood, we recognized that Rutgers was not only a great institution, but was an institution that we had a lot in common with. And we wanted to reach out. Tim and I have known each other for probably 15 or 20 years. And in the last round, we got to know each other a little bit better. And while we stopped at Nebraska, we looked at a larger structures. He said, let's just keep in contact. Let's just keep talking. I said, yeah, you keep me informed. I will keep you informed. And so there was no real beginning to this conversation. This is a conversation that's played out over 3 or 4 years. Me keeping him apprised of how we were thinking, and him keeping me apprised of how Rutgers was thinking. So at a certain point, Bob came to the table. We're able to really discuss what their dreams were, what their vision was. We were able to talk about what we were trying to accomplish. And our presidents authorized what I would describe as an initiative to take Penn State, use it as a bridge into the East. And so the net result was we had conversations with the University of Maryland. We had conversations with Rutgers. And that's essentially where we were focused. And if we could achieve that, we thought that our future was not only in our region, but also in the eastern mid-Atlantic region. And basically, that's what's come to be. Our people are really excited about it. We're not asking that New Jersey move to the Midwest. We're going to move to the East so that you can be yourselves, we can be ourselves, and together join a partnership. So that both partners, you know, enhance each other. Somebody says, what does Rutgers bring? Rutgers brings an incredible amount of commonality on the research side, on the undergraduate side. And what they bring to the Big Ten is the possibility of building a presence, an awareness And to me, it's not just Rutgers. It's Rutgers and Northwestern. It's Rutgers and Michigan. It's Rutgers and Ohio State. But importantly, I don't think you can do this with one institution. I think it's got to be Rutgers and Maryland, Rutgers and Penn State, Penn State and Ohio State and Iowa and Wisconsin together. And if anything is going to bring stability to all of us, it's successful partnerships. The partnership with the Rose Bowl goes back to 1903. The partnerships that we have throughout the bowl systems in Texas and in Florida are important. The CIC is important, really important. It's the only foundational interaction among all conference members in any collegiate conference in the country. Our provosts meet regularly, and they engage in all sorts of collaboration. That's critical. I think the Big Ten Network represents an effort of partners. We've got a joint venture partner in Fox, and when we went to the table to try to resolve it, there were a lot of questions. How do you get into this business and maintain your values? Well, you find a partner who believes in what you're trying to achieve. That means an equal number of events for men, an equal number of events for women. It means no alcohol advertising. They are a partner that has helped us get into 92 million homes nationally. So there are only 8 million cable homes in the country that can't access it. And what we're going to do is attempt to take all of these partnerships and all of these member institutions on the academic, athletic, and commercial side to bring them together to enhance everybody's position in intercollegiate athletics and higher education. So welcome, Rutgers. We're excited as we could be. There's great enthusiasm by our athletic directors and presidents in a unanimous way to welcome Rutgers into the Big Ten Conference. Thank you very much.
Again, media members, if you could just raise your hand, wait for the microphone, and just state your name and affiliation prior to asking a question.
Tim Key, Sergeant from the Home News Tribune. Can you just give us a timeline on when it really, really got serious?
Well, you know, as Jim said, Keith, it's been an ongoing for years, and that's just not this discussion, but the relationship. You know, as you and I have talked, it's all about relationships in our business. But I would say over the past several weeks, I started to engage at a little bit more of a serious level. And, you know, as I said, the beauty of this place is, you know, President Barchi's done a great job coming in and resetting the vision of the university. And what that's done is it's gotten a lot of our key constituents together, marching in line towards, you know, a common goal already. And we needed to move quickly on this. But we were ready to do that. We had all the key people involved and informed. And, you know, Bob's leadership really helped us get it to that point very, very quickly, because the timeline, as Jim would probably smirk at towards the end, was a little tight.
Tim, as the college landscape changed, how and why did you show the patience to wait for the game that turned out to be the right one?
You know, Bruce, I don't know that it was so much about, you know, patience and waiting. You know, my wife is sitting over here, and she tell you that patience is definitely not my strongest asset. But what I would tell you is, and I know that I got looks in a lot of strange directions at times when I said, as things continue to change, given the assets that our university possesses, we will end up in a great situation. And I believe that. And I don't think if the leadership of the university doesn't believe that, that it can actually and physically occur. But from the beginning, understanding, I never really realized how understanding media in my old career applied until I got into this job. And understanding how media is transforming our business in many ways, I think, ended up being an ace in the hole to understand where the best opportunity would be. But this is about a university-wide deal. I think that Rutgers University won today. The athletics department did not win today.
Hi, Dr. Barchi. Pat Alex from The Record. How are you? Any indication whether the university will have to build new facilities or make any kind of a monetary investment to fully come into the Big Ten?
Pat, the discussions that we've had so far with the Big Ten leadership indicate that the facilities we have right now are adequate to allow us to participate in all the programs that we have for the immediate future. I don't think anybody can see beyond the next few years and tell what kind of successes are going to come and what they might mean for Rutgers or for any of our other schools. But I think we're ready to go the way we are right now. We're here to play.
Tom Lucci from the Star Ledger. Tim, for Tim and Jim, the target date for getting in, entry of Maryland, obviously has stated it'd like to be in 2014. Is that realistic for Rutgers?
You know, Tom, I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that what we want to do in this case is simply allow Rutgers to manage that issue with the Big East. They're a long time member in the case of Maryland. They were clear in the case of Rutgers. It's less clear, and I think it's going to come about when it comes about as a result of, you know, good exchange of information between Rutgers and the Big East.
Tom, I would add the same thing. That's a. I did speak to Mike Oresko about an hour ago, and that is an issue that, you know, we'll do what we've been doing as a charter member of the Football League in the Big East. We'll work as, you know, productively as we can to resolve that matter and other matters as we, you know, plan to withdraw and enter the Big Ten Conference.
First stab at that. Your initial statement was that there were some people who had one point of view, and that's a fair statement. There were others who had another point of view. That's what makes a university a great place to be. There's always more than one point of view. My guess is that there will continue to be more than one point of view. The leadership of the university in the past and certainly now feel that athletics contribute a tremendous amount to this institution. That goes way beyond the individuals who are on the field and goes way beyond the dollars and cents in a budget. So for me, there isn't any single break-even point that represents when value is there and when it isn't. I've said all along that we are committed to our athletics program. At the same time, Tim and I have both agreed that we're working towards reducing the amount of subsidy that is apparent in the program. And I must say apparent because it depends in part on how you do the accounting. And one could take the same budgets at other institutions and account for them a little bit differently, and the numbers wouldn't look quite the same. Certainly, having the opportunity to join the Big Ten with the kinds of opportunities for revenues to flow in the out years will make it much easier to support the athletics program and at the same time to support other initiatives that we want to do around the university. So it may deflect some of those conversations that we have. On the other hand, I think we'll always have them.
Just wait for the microphone, Brian.
Brian Doan, FoxSportsNextScout.com. Jim, just curious, how did Rutgers with the New York market and the Big Ten network all factor in and getting into more households?
You know, it was a factor. I think it's been a factor that's a little overplayed, to be honest with you. We have many of our games on a rights fee basis with CBS and ESPN and ABC and CBS College Sports to an extent. We also have a joint venture with the same company that's on your jacket there. Okay. But the assessment by us was really one that there had been a paradigm shift in conferences. We were maybe slow to take it up. We explored, as I mentioned, the collaboration. We lived with 11 members for 22 years. We weren't necessarily seeing ourselves
at 14 or 16 members. When we added Penn State in 1990, we weren't seeking the New York market. We were seeking a great institution located in an adjacent state with a prosperous academic and athletic approach. It wasn't a TV play. I think it's undoubtedly true that when you have a network, we launched it. We went a year without a lot of distribution. We eventually got some distribution. We continue to grow it, especially internationally. We're in 26 countries, and it's available any place in the world where high-speed internet exists. And so we have had some success. But I will tell you this, when we looked at institutions and markets, if we hadn't been able to really achieve an agreement with Maryland and Rutgers, we wouldn't be here. And so it's heavily institutional. You'd have to be silly not to understand we're in the richest corridor of people and great institutions and maybe in the world, between the financial institutions, the political institutions, the media institutions, the great high school students, the student athletes, of course. But we have not, and this is one of the things that I think is important to say, because it's been said before that television dictates the direction of conferences. One president asked me, have you checked with television about what this means? And I said, I haven't had that conversation, and I'm not having it. So whatever happens, happens. But I can tell you, we've not been incented, we've not been directed, and we've not had any guidance from any television company, whether it's a joint venture partner or whether it's anyone else. There's been a lot written about this for those who follow the sports press. But in this case, it may be a factor to assess, but it has not been a determinative factor from the perspective of the decisions that have been made that resulted in today's and yesterday's expansion of the Big Ten membership.
Dr. Barsha, you mentioned the subsidy to athletics. What is that currently, and do you anticipate that the revenue from the new conference will eliminate the need for that subsidy and perhaps even create a surplus?
Well, I think there have been various numbers reported in the papers, and I'm not going to go back over the accounting. The commitment that Tim and I have is to reduce that subsidy, however you account it, by about $1 million a year as we go forward. We did it last year. We're going to do it again this year. And it's our intention to continue in that direction. Do I anticipate that this new agreement with the Big Ten will allow us to completely eliminate that subsidy? I wouldn't be surprised. But we're talking about quite a few years from now before that fully materializes itself as we work through the transition time frame.
Kelly Habor with the Star Ledger. Dr. Barsha, you mentioned academics and that this means Rutgers is joining the CIC. What does that actually mean for students who are not athletes on campus? And Commissioner, what does it mean academically to have Rutgers in the CIC?
Well, first let me say that we hope that we will be asked to join the CIC, that it is not something that's coterminous with being invited to join the Big Ten as an athletic program. It's a decision that the provosts who control the CIC will make. We certainly hope that they will extend us an invitation, and that's been at least the intention that's expressed, and we would really look forward to doing that. What it means is opportunities for increased research and collaboration between the institutions. Facilities that we have here on our campus, for example, we are the national repository for biospecimens for much of the biological research that's sponsored by the National Institutes of Health and elsewhere. Every single protein or DNA structure that's published in this world has to be deposited in a database. Rutgers has that database and controls it. These are incredible resources for researchers around the world, and we do try to share them as best we can. We would really be looking forward to collaborating and sharing with the members of the CIC in an even greater way than we're doing right now.
And Rutgers will get that invitation. Right, make no doubt about it. They're a member of the AAU to begin with, as is Maryland. And you're wondering about the CIC. That's one thing when it comes to the Big Ten. When you look at expansions in the Southeastern Conference, for example, 100% athletically motivated. In the Big Ten, yes, it is 100% athletically motivated, but the subplot also is that you can go back to your faculty and you can sell the move to them because of the CIC. 15% of all research funding in America goes to CIC, a.k.a. Big Ten schools, plus the University of Chicago. 15%. You didn't think we didn't show up to the show unprepared, did you? All right. We'll come back. More on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Welcome back. Rutgers officially in. Now, when they're in needs to be determined. They have to work out a deal with the Big East as to the exit strategy for the Big East. And then to the Big Ten. In all likelihood, many are speculating it's July 1st, 2014, just like Maryland, but we will wait and see until it's official. Which schools, how they line up in divisions, that still has to be discussed by the athletic directors. Maryland sources have been saying yesterday it was going to be Illinois flipping over to the Legends, with Maryland and Rutgers in the leaders with Penn State and Ohio State. Not so, says Jim Delaney. They have to sit down and they have to work it out in an athletic director's meeting. Maybe it is that simple. Maybe it's not. We'll have to find out. The Big Ten puts a lot of research into such things. Talk today that Boise State, BYU, and San Diego State are considering going back to the Mountain West and bagging the Big East. It's amazing how 31 years later, all the dominoes in the East have fallen apart when one man had the vision to keep it all in line. Now the question is, does the Big Ten continue to expand? And if so, where? Matt LaPay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin, joins us on the flip side of the hour, our News Radio 1070 WKOK.